Hi.
We're here today with Kaushik from the Business Startup Group and the dev lead on Fresh Paint. And for those of you not familiar, we actually have an earlier video back when Fresh Paint was released on Windows 8, one of the original Windows 8 apps in the Windows Store. And now today we have some stuff to talk about, diving deep into the improvements made in Windows 8.1 and on the Windows Phone 8 and kind of a little bit about the project. So
sure.
Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit about where what you do here and we can start from there.
Yep, so my name is Kaushik Bharat. I'm the dev lead on Fresh Paint. And we have a team in Startup Business Group, as you talked about. And so essentially we had the year before we released worked on Fresh Paint and we released the version for Windows 8. And then the whole year, we actually did some good amount of work to release it for Windows 8.1. We have added some new features, some new mediums. And so that's what we have been doing for last year.
Very cool. I remember bringing my Surface home to my family last year. And one of the first things you do is like a touch screen, right? You want to play with it. And Fresh Paint was one of them. And I think one of the most amazing things was handing it to my nephews and then just being, it was unremarkable to them. Like it just, yeah, it's paint on paper, which is so hard to replicate on a device, but you guys do it so well. And there's some extreme technology in there. So it's all DirectX under there.
Yes, so the PC version, in fact, what it is this whole DirectX component that we have, it's actually a set of pixel shaders that we have.
Okay.
And on top of this, we have the C# layer. And so it's all the interactions, all this entire simulation, the rendering, the deposition, the pickup, and all those things is all what we model in our engine. And that's all written in pixel shaders and in C++ in the DirectX component that we built.
Again, you went to a little bit more in depth on that in our previous video, so we won't replicate too much of that. But in general, it's this DirectX stuff sitting on top of a XAML UI layer, right? So that gives you all the gesture recognition and that stuff, right?
Right. So how the input kind of flows through is we have a XAML C#. We have this DirectX component where we have all these textures. And then these are being hosted in the XAML controls. So in case of PC, it's the SwapChain background panel, the SwapChain panel, and the surface image source. And they are just containers for the DirectX resources. The input comes through XAML controls, and those inputs are routed through into our engine, and that's how we interpret those inputs, and then we do the deposition and the rendering as we go along.
Very cool. And then you've also brought it to the phone as well. So actually, we can go into that a little later, but it's the same C++,
yeah.
It's the same DirectX.
Yeah, in fact, we have there. Like the engine is exactly the same between the PC and the phone. There is the huge code share between these two. So the same engine, is just that the UI is slightly different for the different form factor.
Form factor, yeah.
But otherwise, it's the same engine, cool. The same shaders and everything.
Awesome. So we, you were part of the project, like I said, one of the original Windows 8 store apps. So you're actually writing against a moving target. Now that this has picked up a fairly decent-sized audience and is a fairly popular app, when you went back, did you have a chance to like refactor those parts that now that the tooling is more complete? Did you have a chance to like refactor your code base, the project at all?
Yes. One of the things we did is initially we had our UI in C++ and we kind of moved to C#. That gives us some flexibility on what we can do with XAML. And while we did that, we also kind of broke our projects into a good kind of following good engineering principles so that it was easy to maintain. It was easy to share code between, as you say, the phone and the PC. There are libraries that we do use for different things like the Bing image search and stuff like that, which we wanted to share. And we could do it since we kind of segregated our code base into simpler projects, like a views, just the UI, and then help libraries that we could share between. The different projects.
Very cool. And I'm assuming you had to run into that same stuff again where you're running to moving targets again on the 8.1 release.
Yeah, on the 8.1 release, it was again some features that we added were like in a SkyDrive, which was again kind of moving. And so we had to keep track with them and sort of, it was not as bad because it was kind of like a stable kind of platform, but still, yeah.
Your entire app platform was moving underneath the first time. So one of your big features is watercolors
right. This
time around, and I was reading in the Windows Experience blog how you actually went and did research on actually how water performs on different canvases on different paper. Can you talk a little bit about the research that went into it and then how that transferred into code?
Sure. So one of the things that we try to do is mimic reality as much as possible, simulate it. And so that's what we did with our oil paint. So again, with the watercolors, what we did is we actually had, we have artists whom we work with, and we went out there and we asked them, okay, give your watercolors. We actually painted with watercolors on paper on different kind of textures, because that's what our even app has, different kind of textures. And we saw, and we tried to kind of have the same kind of behavior that you see on the paper, that you, we try to bring it to the app as well. Not only on watercolors, like we work pretty hard to get the same realism on the PC, on any kind of platform, be it like an x86 version or an ARM version. And so, yes, those were the things that we looked at. One of the things that we did was we would actually have all these parameters exposed out, and we would kind of let the artists go out and play with them and tune those parameters to get the exact experience, or the best experience that they would have while they are painting with watercolors. And using those kind of using these kind of tricks, we kind of were able to nail down the current feature set for watercolors.
Almost sounds like a crowdsourced genetic algorithm, right? Like, give them all the parameters, get it all back and see what fits the best.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually did that with like a couple of artists, and we gave them this and we said, okay, just go ahead, tune the parameters. They would do that. We would kind of just show it on the UI. And then when we got them back, we kind of consolidated them, kind of bought an average over all the parameters. And then we had this watercolor medium that we have right now. One of the other things we did is we tried to do a mixture with the mixed media, wherein we took watercolor and saw how would pencil affect it. If you had laid down pencil on paper and you didn't then did watercolor, or if you had oil on paper and then you did watercolor, how they would react. Like in case of, if you take pencil and oil sort of scrapes. In case of watercolor and oil, the watercolor never kind of stays on oil, or kind of just kind of goes away. Moves out of wherever you have
kind
the oil.
Kind of disperses
oil
over the oil because it's saturated on the canvas.
Yeah,
things,
and kind of the ridges of the oil stuff and those kind of things.
And these are real techniques that artists actually use, right? Like they're going to trace out maybe stuff with a graphite pencil or use a kind of for sharp lines.
Yeah.
And then they can, so this is something that's not just an artifact of what you found. It's actually techniques that artists use.
Yes, those are other things that we kind of figured out, and we have modeled them in our app, and we have brought that kind of realism to the app when we model. And that's another thing that we did, is not only with mediums but also with the brushes, because when you have a brush and you kind of move it on a paper, its bristles are going to have some kind of deformation and all, and with different media they act sort of slightly differently. So with oil it's more pronounced, whereas with watercolor it's not as pronounced, the bristle kind of effects, but it's more like the spread of the color.
It kind of diffuses through since it's water-based. Yeah. I think that's one of my favorite features, and in fact you'll see in my paintings, which are not artistic at all. I just like getting kind of a different gradient across the brush.
Right.
And then as you kind of make big sweeping motions, you can almost tell, even if I'm using my finger, where my wrist would have moved. Would have snapped over, and the bristles completely switch over, and you get the different texture across.
Yeah.
And that's stuff I love playing with in there. You also mentioned that you kind of refreshed the UI into kind of this clean experience. So can you tell me what kind of feedback you got, what kind of decisions you made? You're also adding new features, so what was kind of the mindset around the UI changes?
Yeah, so we wanted to kind of follow the clean, modern UI look of Windows that has come along. And so, going on those lines, earlier we had this, the background would be like a wooden kind of background, giving you a very realistic or an easel kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
But now we went with a clean white or slight grayish background.
Got rid of the kind of the skeuomorphism.
The skeuomorphism, and kind of made it kind of flatter. But at the same time, we wanted to keep some of the realism, and so we kept the brushes. The brushes will look very realistic to you when you see them in the palette. The palette is, again, something that we kept because that's something that people were resonated with. They're like, okay, this is what a palette looks like. And so at the same time, didn't want to add too many things. We wanted to keep it simple, fun, magical. That's been our mantra from day one. And so we did not want to add too many features or too many UI complexities. So we wanted to kind of keep it clean, as at the same time add more features for users who would like want to kind of use it in more artistic fashion.
That's super cool. Being is that it is released for 8.1, there are some 8.1 integration points.
So
I know some of them are, you know, pinning paintings to start and lock screen integration and stuff like that. What were kind of the steps? Were those hard to integrate, or were they simple things, or?
Using the like pinning to start or setting it to lock screen, I would say pretty easy to do. I wouldn't call them as non-trivial. They're pretty standard ways of doing it. The APIs are pretty good about on using that.
And to be clear, I'm sorry, it's pinning like individual portraits to start, not
yes,
just the app.
So not you can, just the app, yeah.
If you have a couple things you're working on, you can pin them there and just jump right to that specific.
You can pin them there and you can give it a name, and then when you want, you can just go into it. This kind of the same mechanism of secondary tiles that's there, and it's pretty easy to kind of integrate that into your app. The APIs are pretty standard for doing that.
Awesome. The other thing, one of the big things in 8.1 is snap mode is now like variable width. There's a minimum width, which was the previous Windows 8 snap view, but now you can kind of go across. And in Fresh Paint, even if you're half and half, you can still go ahead and paint full screen there.
So one of the things we wanted to do was, since we have this palette coming up from the top and the whole toolbar, we did not want to give them an experience wherein the toolbar kind of shrinks too small, so that users can't paint. But still, there is a width, a good sweet spot for us that we can fit the palette, the toolbar, and the palette in, and we still feel that users can have a good experience. And so, yes, in a particular snap view mode, you will be able to paint. But as soon as you go anything less than that, we kind of go back to our homepage where we just show you the paintings, and you can
kind of a view only mode.
Gallery. It's your gallery kind of mode, and you can then select a painting, and it kind of goes into a full screen mode where it allows you to paint.
Okay. One of the other things is SkyDrive is very intimately integrated into Windows 8.1,
right.
And that's another integration you guys made.
Oh yeah, that was one of the big features that we had and we had planned for. So you can now, with the new version, start a painting and set your save location, your default save location, to SkyDrive anytime. And once you do that, all your paintings from there on will be saved at SkyDrive. We heavily leveraged the Windows infrastructure for doing that. So what we would do is we would let the user select that SkyDrive, and then we would actually save that folder location. It's a storage folder that's kind of handed down to us, and so we will just remember the storage folder in something known as a future access list.
Okay.
And once you do that, after that point, whenever you save paintings, you kind of just save them to, the user is saving it to SkyDrive. It's essentially being saved to the disk, and Windows takes care of sort of managing all the synchronization between the PC and SkyDrive. So now if I go to another PC, Windows would have put this on SkyDrive, and then when I open Fresh Paint on the second PC, it would have also kind of hydrated or brought it in. And once you have it there, I can just go open it and start from where I left at. So because of this infrastructure, we did not really have to do much. We just had to kind of keep track of the storage folder so that we know that, okay, this is in SkyDrive or this is not in SkyDrive kind of thing.
Okay.
We do not have to maintain or manage the synchronization on
it. I was going to say, it sounds like there's really no special, if SkyDrive then do special saving code, because you're saving everything down in, you can't really wait for your app to close. That's not kind of the app model. There's this kind of periodic. Mm-hmm. Do you have time sliced saves, or do you every time a stroke is made you save, or how do you?
We have two saving mechanisms. One is there's an auto save that kicks in every 5 minutes. So if you are painting for a long time, we would kind of keep saving after every 5 minutes. The other one is, let's say you now go back to the gallery. That's another save point for us. Mm-hmm. So we will save it then down there. Other kind of places where we would save is whenever you would go out of the app. So you switch to another app.
You get the suspension notification.
You get a suspension notification.
So is there enough time in there to actually serialize everything
down? Yes, there is. In fact, with Windows, what you can do is you can request a deferral. Mm-hmm. So you defer till you have finished your async process, async function. And so when the async function call comes back, you say, okay, I have now done, and so I'm going to release this deferral. And so that works pretty well. But in our tests and all everything, we save pretty quickly, and so we don't have. And that's another benefit, because now, since we are just saving to the local disk and Windows takes care of syncing it with SkyDrive, we don't have to ensure that, okay, I have a connection up to SkyDrive, and then I do the save and all those
that
things.
That can be done after the app is actually even closed.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly, and Windows takes care of that. So we just save locally, as we would have saved in case of a local file. So that's pretty good.
That's super cool. It's basically just free synchronization across your app or anything. One of the other features is Canvas Pop, which I wasn't familiar until I was reading up on this. Is basically a website where you can go and upload photos, and they'll print them on canvas and like bordered and thick and, you know, all like nice like professional photos. You can do that straight from the little print button in the app bar.
Yeah, right. And so there were two main things that of that I would like to call out. One is that this is from the integrated within the app. One thing we would want to do is because you can print large prints. And you can print from a surface, which is like a small screen PC. So what do you do? So we have this algorithm that, based on the size that you select that you're going to print onto, we are going to scale up this painting, maintaining the realism, maintaining all these small details that you have, and kind of not making sure that it does not kind of fade out or kind of get pixelated,
right,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so we have the algorithm to kind of stretch it up. And then though that kind of goes through using, we just use a background uploader to upload this high resolution exported image up to Canvas Pop. And these are all just standard HTTP client calls that we make. Goes up to Canvas Pop and they print it up. So it's all standard HTTP client calls. We get the response. If there's any error, we respond. We give it to the user. But otherwise, it's all the same.
You were saying like it could be different variable resolutions and such. So depending on if you're on a tablet, PC, or such,
right.
Do you actually get different canvas resolution sizes depending on what device you're on?
No, the canvas resolution sizes are all dependent on what Canvas Pop provides us.
Okay.
And so it's their printing that gives them. But we have worked with them to have a good aspect ratio, because if you're painting on a landscape, and that's like a 1920x1080, then you'd want to kind of keep this aspect ratio. And so the options that you will see on Canvas Pop are those with the same kind of aspect ratio, so that you do not have borders or weird kind of
letterboxed things. Yeah, canvas printing stuff would be kind of weird, yeah.
But yeah, for us, from the app side, it's as if we are making a simple web service call. And we just follow this same mechanism, wherein we first initiate a call to Canvas Pop that they hand down a token. We use that token for future calls, and that's the standard mechanism of making any web service call. So that all is standard, and we use the background uploader to upload the high resolution image, because it might take time, the user might go away from
The other thing we want to talk about is actually porting this over to the phone, which when I went to go download it, I mentioned this before to you, it's 5 megabytes. Which, for all of this, there's an internal physics engine, and there's I don't know how many different kinds of pixel shaders and things, everything you have going on. That's pretty amazing to me. And there's so much that, and I have it over here, there's so much that kind of follows through both just the UI and then things like the SkyDrive integration and actually the Bing search is another thing we didn't talk about. Can you first talk a little bit about porting to the phone? What kind of your goals are, because you don't normally have the same experience from a phone app to a tablet or PC app. So how do you kind of scale that down?
Right, and so when we started off, this was we released our first phone version sometime this year. What the goal was to kind of the first initial goal was that we have to have the same amount of realism that we have on the PC on the phone, and we actually got it. I mean, it's the same code base. We just targeted to a different platform, and we compile it all the same FXE compiler that we use for compiling the shaders for PC versus the phone. It's the same C++ code, exactly the same. There's no changes in the core engine or core functionality. So the core functionality is shared between the PC and the phone completely. And so that gives us, we do not have to go and then write code for two different platforms.
Or fix bugs in two places or
exactly.
Back and forth.
It's like we do the work on one place, and it's a benefit for both the platforms. Like, for example, we have added the pencil model, and the pencil model is exactly same that we have on the PC. Now, one thing we wanted to do here was, it's a small form factor. It's not something that people are going to sit down and paint on for hours. So we added some smaller things in there. We added some quick things that people would likely do. And so that was a thing. The form factor was a big factor in there. But again, we wanted to keep it simple, magical, fun. And the UI was something that we had to redesign, because the form factor is one, and then we wanted to kind of go with the Windows Phone guidelines, UI guidelines. So you have the panorama control and that sort of thing.
So yeah, the phone also has a similar app model, app lifecycle model to the Windows 8 apps. or Windows Store apps, that there's, I mean, you can be suspended anytime, you can hit back and, you know, get jump out of it. So how does that work with kind of, with saving and against suspension tombstoning on the phone? Is that similar to what happens on the PC?
In a way it is, but again, it's slightly different. The UI, the input model is kind of different on the phone. On the phone, again, it's the same thing where it's a DX component and then we have the UI in C Sharp. The phone has a slightly different wherein it hands down us a DX device. In case of the PC, we create our own. What happens is on every time the app starts up, a new DX device is handed down to us, which is kind of expensive for us because we have to create all these resources, the DX resources,
textures. Yeah.
So what we ended up doing is we kind of maintain our own DX device. And then whenever the phone hands down a DX device, we kind of keep that around. And on every draw call, they hand down a render target view to us. So we do essentially a synchronization and a copy of the resources from our resources to the resources that are being handed down by the phone. And that has been the main problem or the main challenge there is to be responsive enough. So
right.
You're painting and you do not want to see any lag in your painting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's it. Even after doing that with the phone, we have got pretty good response. So we have not seen any drop in response, and so that's what we do. We do certain other tricks around how to get performance better, but all that is in this engine, and it kind of is the same between what we do on the PC and what we do on the phone.
So any performance gains you end up getting on the phone, you're essentially, most of them are coming across back to the PC anyway. So.
True. In fact, there have been, while we were working on the phone, there have been things like, because I was saying the input modeling is slightly different. On the phone, what you can, like as I was talking about on the PC, you get your input through XAML. But on the phone, because they wanted it to be even faster, or the model is slightly different, wherein the input points directly come to your to a callback that you provide. So in this case, we do not provide anything in XAML. We provide the hooks directly from our core engine. So it bypasses XAML, and you get the input directly into the core engine. But the challenge there is, now these inputs are coming on a different thread than the UI thread.
Right.
In case of the PC, all input is on the UI thread, so it's all the same kind of single threaded, and then it's easy to maintain resources. In this case, we had to make sure of synchronization, because at any time, you do not want the same resource being accessed from different threads. And so we had this all synchronization, we added synchronization, which we did not have in the PC side. But that actually benefited the PC, because now we have this infrastructure for synchronization, which we brought forward from the phone to the PC. And there are some certain scenarios where we kind of have multi-threading issues on the DX side. And so there we use the synchronization process to even get better performance on the PC.
How much does that complicate debugging your testing and stuff when you're now going to more multi-process, multi-threading, kind of moving stuff over to those background threads?
It's not any different. The debugging process is still kind of the same. On the phone, in fact, you can just attach a debugger while you're debugging on the phone on the actual device, or you can even do it on the emulator. We have even been able to get the whole core engine working on the emulator. So that's been one of the cool things. The debugging process is still the same. You have, of course, you will have some complexities around doing multi-threading, but while debugging. But otherwise, you can. It's the tools are all out there, and so we could use them. And
let's go back to some more of the integration stuff. One of the other big things you have is Bing image search, which is labeled as Inspire Me. So instead of going to a blank canvas or a blank screen, you actually say, I want to go look for, actually they even suggest things to you, which I found was, but you get some beautiful imagery from Bing image search, and both on the PC and the phone, you can go ahead and select one and say, here we go, I'm going to start with this, because this is better than anything I'm going to be able to draw in here. And why don't you tell me a little bit what's going on here. So we start with an image.
Right. So what you do is the Bing image search, you go out, you do a query on whatever you want, be it landscape, be it dragon, be it fruit, on anything that you like. And then you can apply these filters that we have. This is a new filter that we have come up with, which is an oil daub filter. It makes the photo as if it was an oil painting. That's one of these. It gets this painting, it gets this picture onto your canvas, and you can use it, you can smear it, you can play with it, you can mix with this.
So I can just hit this check mark over here and just start going to town on
Right, and then if you kind of zoom in, you'll see even better.
Right, you can actually see the individual marks that are being made here. That's the thing, like I said, that amazes me is just the texture that gets involved in here and the way that brush strokes flow through. And you can see that it's not just, you know, bit blotting, you know, every other place. It's actually taking into account the direction, the, you know, actually, there's some pressure improvements you did on PC as well, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the one thing that we always have been looking for is stylus support. Mm-hmm. And with the stylus, in fact, on a Surface Pro, in fact, if you take the stylus and you slightly hold it with near the screen, you'll get a very light paint. And if you, as you increase the pressure, you will see the paint increasing. So that's one thing that we have definitely improved on. And there, and we keep working on with different styluses out there and try to improve how the reaction or how we paint with them and how they react to our fresh paint and the painting, the mixing, the deposition, and the amount of deposition that happens.
That's super awesome. The other thing that is actually specific to the phone is lens integration.
Oh,
so lenses are kind of a shared control that goes across usually photo apps. So kind of, I guess, the Instagram kind of world where you take a photo, then you want to make it, you know, black and white or sepia tone or whatever. Tell me a little bit about what that does with in fresh paint.
Right. So. In fresh paint, another goal that we had was if we are doing lenses, it has to be used through our filters and it has to be real time.
Okay.
So it's the same kind of mechanism that you have right now, wherein you bring up this camera, you're somewhere, you bring up the camera, you just start the fresh paint lens, and you can select from those three filters that we just talked about, the oil daub, the sketch filter, or the just the oil. And you're just looking at the world outside through this lens, as in through an oil daub, as if the world outside is an oil painting,
right?
Or as if the world outside is a sketch. And then whatever you like, you just capture it, and it's captured as that particular medium. So be it a sketch or be it an oil painting. And then you can go and modify it as you go along. Again, over there, the key factor that we had in mind was performance. Because it's real time, the images that are coming in or the real time video that you're seeing should not lag in any way. If you have a bigger screen phone, or if you are using a simple one of the low-end phones, then the performance should be good.
Right.
And so for that, we worked a lot with. There are good amount of APIs around how to integrate directly into our core engine. So we hand a photo capture device, we hand it down to our core engine, and from that point on, we have this callback that keeps coming in. With the full image data, and we bring that into our texture, we apply our filters, and we go do that. And we have got pretty good response on how the filter works.
Yeah, we saw right there. I mean, you basically just tap through, and you get the real time.
Yeah.
You know, flip through them. It's really sweet to use on a set. Again, phone versus anything. And one of the things that comes with the SkyDrive integration is support on the phone as well. So you can definitely like get inspiration on the road. Start something on the phone, save it to SkyDrive, and then go and finish it on the PC. Is that?
Yeah, exactly. It's you kind of nailed it right there. Wherein we always see the phone as something as a starting point, and so you see the phone as you're out on the road and you take this picture, and now you want to really add details to it. And we think that adding details would be something that you would do on your PC side with a larger screen, with a stylus, for example. And so you can start from there, save it to SkyDrive. And we save this whole painting to SkyDrive. You go to your PC side and you import it. Now, from the phone to save it on the SkyDrive, it was we use the Live SDK. Again, available for free, and then you can download it. Just set it up. Very easy to set up. Very easy to query SkyDrive from the phone. You can get all your folders. You can create folders. It also has an uploader, which is like a background uploader.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
And so you use that to kind of post it onto, and you get response. You get the progress, and so you can also display that to the user. And once it's done, it's on the SkyDrive. You can go to SkyDrive and you can actually look at it. Go to the PC side, you open up the gallery, say import this painting, you get the painting, and you can continue from where you left.
There's a little bit more integration point on the phone side for SkyDrive. Is that anything you're doing special for when you're actually like rastering out the image? or?
Yeah, we save into this particular format that we have, which we try to maintain as much fidelity as possible. In fact, we try to maintain the exact fidelity without any loss of whatever details that we have. And so doing that, like on the PC side at least, you would have your entire painting, you would have your whole palette being saved, your tools, settings, everything will be saved.
Okay.
And so when you come back to the painting, you'll be left, or you can start from exactly where you left.
Literally like walking away from the canvas in your like hobby room and then going back to it, everything's right there.
Exactly, yeah. Everything is right there. Your palette is the same, your mixed colors in the palette are the same, your recent colors are the same, they're all out there. On the phone side, it's slightly different, wherein since we look at this as a starting point, it's just the, and we wanted to kind of reduce the amount of data that we save onto SkyDrive from the phone and also on the phone, we just save the painting, the actual painting, and that goes in, and then you can use the same tools and kind of continue on.
Awesome. So I know in a lot of projects, people have something that they're really proud of that may not necessarily be, you know, very customer focused or something that shines in there. Is there anything in there that you're really proud of that you guys worked on that isn't necessarily like a user facing feature or any part of the infrastructure or anything?
Well, I would say that there are a couple of things. I mean, the whole complexity of the shaders, how we kind of manage them, how we kind of compile them out, that whole infrastructure that we kind of sort of, it's a lot of Visual Studio, but we sort of made small adjustments here and there to get it out. That is one. Second is what we're really proud of is the integration or the sharing between the phone and the PC. The whole code-based sharing, because that has made life so easy, and it has made it really, for a small team that we have, it's made it really easy for us to kind of support both these platforms. So that those are two things. Third would be the complexity of the algorithms that we use for doing the brush modeling, for doing the simulation, for doing the rendering. All that is pretty. I mean, it's challenging, and so that's where the fun is. So that's also pretty good out there. We are seeing good improvements on the debugging side with Windows, with Visual Studio, and so that's also helping us in some ways. So yeah, overall, that those would be kind of
awesome. Well, it's great to hear. Great to have you today. Thanks so much for sharing everything. Fresh Paint is available if you already have it on your Windows 8 machine. If you upgrade to Windows 8.1, it automatically updates. You'll get all these new features, watercolors, graphite pens, pencils, a bunch of new UI improvements, and go ahead and try it out.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Cool. Thank you.